Welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. Today is Wednesday, March 13th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564, or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
Thank you, Michelle, for the intro. Exciting night, Wednesday night. The college basketball tournaments are starting for each conference, or actually they started last night for some, but enjoying it. I really can't get into it right now until probably tomorrow night. I know Auburn plays at 10 tonight, but really what fun is watching that. So Auburn and Texas A&M at 10 Eastern tonight, and I have with me Jonathan Miklos. How's it going, Jonathan?
You know, my day started off a little rocky, but it has ended on a real high note, man. How's your day rolling?
Not too bad. I'm still trying to get adjusted to this time change. I can't go to sleep at night, and I can't wake up in the morning. But other than that, life is good.
Hey, you know, I see you on that, man. I'm not a big fan of this time change either.
I wish they would keep it the same. You know, just decide which one. I'm fine either way. Let's just keep it the same. You know, I'm 3 days deprived from the gym because I'm too lazy to get up and go. So, well, Jonathan, man, I don't want to waste any time, man, because, you know, we have college basketball to talk about. Don't get me wrong, but this NFL free agency is crazy, man. I don't know what to say. What do you think about all of this?
Well, I will say that I am officially – in love with just about every team in the NFL right now because of this free agency. I love the Bucks signing of Deshaun Goldson, even though it essentially pushes out Rondé Barber. I think Denver signing of Wes Welker might be the best signing of this whole free agency so far. And New England kind of responded with a real, you know, knee-jerk signing of Danny Amendola, 5-year, $31 million. Welker only got 2 years, 12. Which leads to the question, what's Victor Cruz going to get, knowing that Mike Wallace got, you know, five years, 47.5? You know, what are the Giants or, you know, anybody else actually going to pay Victor Cruz?
That's a good question. But the question to you is, Mike Wallace, why would you sign a receiver with $30 million guaranteed? That's unheard of. And tell me if I'm wrong, Jonathan. I mean, this is a guy that goes vertical. He doesn't go across the middle like T.O., some of those other big-time receivers. So why would you $30 million guarantee to a guy that won't take a hit across the middle?
You know why you pay Mike Wallace that kind of money? Because Mike Wallace is that guy who will go downfield and makes the big play. I mean, you know, when you have, you know, as many touchdowns over 30 yards, I believe he has 15 in the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an insane statistic. Nobody does that. And it's amazing when you have a receiver like him who can do that and who stretches the field for you and opens up the running game and opens up, you know, Brian Hartline. That's why I think they gave so much money, was because the signing of Wallace also helps out Brian Hartline. And you could see Tannehill have a huge year between Dustin Keller, even though that signing's not official, between Dustin Keller, Wallace, Hartline, who is their slot guy? I can't remember their slot guy's name. He went to the University of Hawaii. You know, and then Daniel Thomas. I mean, I'd like to know if they're going to draft a running back, or are they going to sign Steven Jackson?
Yeah, that's another, you know, Steven Jackson. Where will he end up? I mean, I heard Green Bay's in talks with him right now, but he's looking to get a 3-year deal. And looking at Jackson, Jonathan, I just don't think I would sign 3 years to him. You know, the Broncos got 2 for Welker, I believe. So, I mean, that's good. He's 31 years old. So that's I don't know how the Broncos got him for 2 years, but they did. John Elway worked his magic. But I want to go back to Wes Welker just a second. You know, what were the Patriots trying to do? Were they trying to play hardball with Welker and push him around? All they did was lead the NFL with third down percentages, 48.7. And you know Brady likes that slot receiver. And, you know, right behind them was Broncos at 45.1. Tell me what this does to the Patriots right now and the Broncos. I think the Broncos are now the team to beat.
Well, I believe this move. Oh, yeah. I mean, this move right now, this Wes Welker deal, makes Denver the team to beat in the NFL. I would put them as favorites right now. I would go and place money on that bet, on them winning the Super Bowl. For New England, I really want to see how Tom Brady reacts, because Tom Brady just lost his number one guy, and Tom Brady took a pay cut to get his number one guy. So, you know, how's Tom Brady going to react? I believe this is a classic example of, you know, New England playing hardball, except they lost this time.
Yeah, and Welker's walking, you know, giving the bird to the Patriots right now, and you know, the person that's the happiest right now is Peyton Manning and John Elway. Elway's showing what a great job he's doing as the owner, but Peyton Manning, you know how much he loves that slot receiver, Jonathan. He's going to have a field day with Wes Welker, and I don't understand. I'm waiting to hear what Brady says, but I guarantee you it's not going to be good. But Pittsburgh and New England, they don't pay guys, really, except the quarterback position. So it was a risk they took, and it backfired big time. So hopefully they'll learn from this.
Well, Tom Brady is enraged with the fact that Welker, the Patriots let Welker walk. He, according to a person close to Brady, a real, you know, a source really close to him, he is enraged, not happy, just livid with New England right now, and that's not good. That's a real problem. And I want you to think about this for Denver, though. If you're Peyton Manning, you have Demaryius Thomas, who's proven time and time again he's a really good receiver. If Eric Decker had a great season, and you have Wes Welker. Plus, I mean, we don't know what they're going to do in the running back situation, but they could go out there and they could get a Steven Jackson or Ahmad Bradshaw, Danny Woodhead, guys like that. Denver's offense could be really scary next year. Dallas Clark's free agent. Do we see Dallas Clark possibly going to Denver? I don't know. I'm not going to guarantee it or say otherwise, but this could be what Denver is putting together right now. What they are assembling is a very scary-looking team, and it looks a lot better than the Philadelphia Eagles' dream team. You know, I mean,
yeah, you look on the outside, you have Thomas and Decker, and now you have Welker as a slot. You bring in Dallas Clark as a tight end and get a running back. I mean, that Denver offense is going to be just carving up defenses. I mean, it's going to be almost unstoppable, and guys will be lining up, Jonathan, to play for Peyton Manning toward the end of his career.
Well, I mean, guys will always line up to play with Peyton Manning. I mean, and let's not sell No. Sean Marino and Ronnie Hillman short. Ronnie Hillman's not very good in pass protection, but No. Sean Marino is, and he proved at the end of last year why he was a first-round pick by Denver in the first place. So I think Denver is really set on offense, especially since they have Clady back. And Ryan Clady is one of the best left tackles in the game. Now, I'm really intrigued and waiting to see where Jake Long goes, because he was in St. Louis today working on doing his physical, and Roger Saffold, St. Louis' starting left tackle right now, said he will not move to the right side. If they sign Long, they better be ready to trade him.
Why did Miami sign him?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know why Miami's not in this ballgame. Miami's been spending money left and right. They just cut Carlos Dansby today after they signed Philip Weaver. And they signed Daniel Ellerbe yesterday. After they signed Weaver today, they cut Dansby. And Dansby was caught off guard by it. He did not expect it. So I think Miami might have just opened up cap space, you know, more space for Jake Long. And that would be a really smart decision, because he's a four-time Pro Bowler. You don't get rid of guys like that.
Well, I want to go back real quick to the Patriots, Jonathan. I mean, what is Tom Brady going to do on third down? I mean, he had a security blanket, and now it's gone. I mean, there's no way they can keep up the number one third down efficiency in the league now, 48.7. I mean, who do they go draft somebody to hopefully take their place, or they try to sign somebody? I don't see anybody out there that can take Welker's place doing what he did in that role.
Well, they have Julian Edelman, who they've been grooming for the Wes Welker position. And then, you know, like I said, they signed Danny Amendola. And Amendola has great hands. He's a good slot receiver. He's a great slot receiver, especially in St. Louis. Well, let's face it. St. Louis didn't have the slot receiver going. He was the number one out there, and he looked fantastic. So I'm not too worried about New England, especially since they still have Gronkowski and Hernandez. What I'm worried about for New England is how Brady is going to react to losing Welker as his top target. Is he actually going to trust Amendola and Edelman to take Welker's place. That's the new problem.
Well, I mean, Brady got slapped in the face. I mean, if I took a pay cut to hold on to people that were very important to the team to win, and you know Brady, he wants to win. He's like Peyton Manning. He'll sacrifice a little money in order to get a ring. So if I'm Tom Brady, I'm super pissed right now that I took a pay cut and then you went out and did that. But I just don't get it sometimes. Some of these owners, you know, I'll tell you who's smiling today, though, Jonathan, is Geno Smith after Buffalo released Fitzpatrick. You know, Fitzpatrick's sprouting today, supposed to get $3 million today if he was still on the team. Yesterday, yep. Buffalo came to the curb, saves the $3 million. So it looks like to me that it's possible that Geno Smith could be that first quarterback taken to go to Buffalo, because who is it, Tre'Marius Jackson? I mean, are you going to play him as a starter? No way. I think they're going to come in and bring some new life to the team, get a young quarterback like all of these other teams have been, it seems, successful with. What do you think about Geno Smith maybe going to Buffalo with this release of Fitzpatrick?
Well, I'm going to tell you, if I was Buffalo, I'd tell you you're wrong. But I'm not Buffalo, and I don't know what they're thinking. But Buffalo, they're not going to spend their first-round pick on Geno Smith, and I can tell you why right now. They lost their starting guard, Andy LaVetri. He signed with Tennessee today, 6 years, $47 million. Okay? There's this little dude named Chance Warmack out of University of Alabama. I will tell you right now, if he is on the board, which he should be, the Buffalo Bills will draft Chance Warmack, and then they're going to go and they're going to draft quarterbacks from Syracuse in the second or third round, Ryan Nassib, because he really wants to play with Buffalo because he wants to play for his college coach, Doug Marrone, who's Buffalo's new coach. And I think Buffalo's quite receptive to that idea. So I think Smith is still going to get stuck in Arizona.
Yeah, I like your logic on that, because you do have to go in and replace. You have to build from the inside, and you can get a quarterback in the third, fourth, fifth round if you wanted to that's going to be just as good as Geno Smith, honestly. I mean, you can have Tre'Marius Jackson there, or you can do a trade, maybe get somebody to come in, you know, if Tre'Marius Jackson doesn't work out. So you're right. I think they will. From what I'm hearing, they were looking at maybe getting Geno Smith with this move. But think about you if you're Fitzpatrick. You know, Monday morning you wake up, you realize that if I can just make it two more days, I get guaranteed $3 million bonus, and then you get cut. I mean, that's business for you. That's the life of the NFL, man. It's a dirty business, but, you know, it works both ways. Some of these players, you know, screw these franchises, these teams. But it's funny in a way when you see these guys. But Fitzpatrick sucks. I mean, he didn't deserve any money. He didn't deserve the contract he had. But, hey, I want to go to something real quick. Let's go to Baltimore right quick, Jonathan. What is going on? I mean, this team right now is just, I mean, they're gone. Everybody's leaving. You look, they lost Matt Burke, their center, started all 16 games. Anquan Boldin led the team in receiving. Then they lost three linebackers. Paul Kruger went to Miami. He was their team high in sacks with nine. Let's see, Ellerby went to Miami, I believe, right?
Yeah, Ellerby went to Miami. Kruger went to Cleveland.
Okay, Kruger went to Cleveland, that's right. And Ray Lewis retired, and then Tampa Bay got the safety, right?
Deshaun Goldson. No, he's from San Francisco.
Okay. There's so many moves going on right now, man. It's crazy. So, I mean, look, I mean, they lost right now 3, 4, 5, 6 players, and Ed Reed is visiting Houston, I believe, right?
Ed Reed will be in Houston tomorrow morning. He is in serious contract talks with them since Glover Quinn, their starting safety, signed with Detroit today. And it has never, and we've never seen it happen before, where a team wins the Super Bowl and loses five starters on defense. I mean, you know, Kruger's gone, Ellerby's gone, Lewis retires. Ed Reed's on his way out. Kerry Williams, starting cornerback, he's a free agent, and it doesn't sound like he's going to resign. You know, Baltimore's in a lot of trouble, and I'm gonna say what I'm gonna beat the dead horse here, like we've been saying. Joe Flacco, is he really worth that $20 million now? I'm waiting for somebody to tell me, yeah, Flacco's worth that money. Because they trade Bolden, so they have the money for Ellerby, and Ellerby still leaves. And then they weren't even trying to go after Kruger, you know? And they signed Chris Canty, who's the defensive tackle, but the Giants cut him. If the Giants cut him, is he really worth you know, worth the signing. And Ed Reed's not coming back, and they cut Bernard Pollard, too. So you're talking about 5-6 starters leaving from a Super Bowl-winning defense?
Yep.
That is a huge, huge problem. And nobody, they're not going to recover. They're not going to win unless Flacco puts the team on his back. And, you know, one thing we haven't, you know, nobody's really brought up, Dennis Pitta and Ed Dixon, the two tight ends for them, are both restricted free agents. Is somebody going to come in and try to take them off their hands?
That's a good
stupid
question.
Ozzie Newsom's old and senile at this rate.
Well, Jonathan, I want to ask you this question. You tell me honestly what you feel. Do you feel the team, the defense, especially on Baltimore, took it as a slap in the face that Flacco got all the credit, you know, for the Super Bowl and the playoffs and got that all of that money? Do you think there's a little animosity going on there some of these defensive players? I do.
I would, but, you know, here's a story that nobody talked about. Halloween Day this season, Harbaugh came into the practice facility and told all the players, look, we're practicing full pads. This was 10 days after they lost to Houston. I think it was 43-10. He came in and said, look, we're practicing full pads today. Well, Ed Reed and Bernard Pollard took exception to that, and they essentially called it a mutiny. Well, Harbaugh took it like, you know, the great coach he is and said, all right, well, if you have a problem, come up here and speak like a man. Well, Ed Reed and Pollard did that. Harbaugh responded, and apparently they shrunk back to the end of the crowd. So Reed and Pollard are gone because they created a problem in the locker room. And Bernard Pollard has always created a problem in the locker room. He's a problem personality. You know, and honestly, if I was Kruger and if I was Ellerby and all these other guys, yeah, Flacco doesn't deserve that credit. You know, if it wasn't for the lights going out, San Fran would have never gotten within, you know, the 4 points. I mean, let's face it. You know, the lights don't go out. Baltimore steamrolls San Francisco, the defense gets all the credit.
Well, I mean, you look at and like you said, we don't want to beat a dead horse, but our biggest concerns, Jonathan, and I remember having a discussion, you, me, Trey, it was the biggest concern was, okay, Flacco has all this money, this big contract. How are you going to hold on to someone that he's going to throw the ball to? How are you going to get some linebackers, some defensive players? Anything, offensive lineman. Now you can't. You're screwed because you gave all this money to the 25th rated quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I can't get that out of my mind. It's like a dream almost. You wake up and you wonder, is Flacco really worth that money? Did he really get this contract? But I mean, if we saw it coming. I know sports. You know sports very well. But come on, what about the management of Baltimore? Did they not see this? Because this is a boneheaded move, and it's going to kill them. I don't even think Baltimore will be relevant next year.
Well, no doubt. There is no doubt in my mind that Baltimore is going to fall off the face of the planet next year. They're going to tumble harder than the 0-2 Raiders.
Man, that's pretty hard. Jonathan, we're going to take a call from the 828 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this? Hello, 828. You're on Way In Sports.
828. This is Tyler calling in from North Carolina.
Hello, Tyler.
Yeah, buddy. He's calling in from North Carolina, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome. Long way from home.
What's up? What do you have for us?
Hey, man, but, yeah, talking about Joe Flacco, he's definitely – I don't think he's at all overrated. I think he got a good contract. I think he's going to be doing good for the Baltimore Ravens for a good bit of time, but I definitely don't think their team is going to be Super Bowl-worthy next year, obviously, because, you know, they're losing a lot of good people. But Flacco, I think they gave him a little bit overpaid contract for sure, but he's still worth a good bit amount of money, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, why are they losing all of these defensive players? Why are these players jumping ship right now, do you think?
I don't know, man. That's I'm curious in my opinion as well. What are y'all thinking?
I think it's some resentment of that contract and the credit. You know, players are funny. I mean, these guys want their money too. And I feel like Baltimore, I mean, they play with Flacco every day. They realize that he's not all he's cracked up to be and what everybody's saying, and all of a sudden he gets a $120-plus million contract, and getting all the credit. I think these guys want to go. I think these guys are like, screw this, I'm leaving. I don't want to play with an organization that's going to pay a guy like this amount of money. I just don't think the team likes him as much as some of these people say he does.
Do you think some of the other players are just getting kind of pissed off at how much like Flacco's getting compared to what they're getting, and everybody's kind of like team playing out?
I think so. What about you, Jonathan?
I agree. I mean, Tyler, I agree with you 100%, boy. I mean, you know that, and I mean, you got to see him in person when he played for Delaware and he played at App State. I mean, did you think he was that good back then?
He played for Delaware, you know, and we played against App State. He played like crap, and which is still amazes me that he's at the level he's at today. I mean, App State kicked his ass in you know, when they played Delaware for the national championships, and you know, took it to him hardcore, which it still amazes me a boatload that he's getting as much money as he is. And I think that honestly, it's going to make a lot of other quarterbacks be looking for a lot more money as well. I mean, you can't base this whole Super Bowl championship on Flacco, but I think he's still at least a decent quarterback to have getting some money, but he shouldn't be getting near as much as he is right now, especially after the Super Bowl. I mean, he's never consistent. It's either a good game or a bad game, and you never have any in between.
Yep. And Tyler, man, I want to thank you for the call, buddy. Appreciate you calling in and weighing in. But he's right. He's right, Jonathan. I mean, you know, you look at it. You have to be consistent at the quarterback position. You look at the elite quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, some of these guys. I mean, every game they're producing. I mean, sometimes you have a bad game, of course. Don't get me wrong. But still, these guys are competing. But name me the last elite quarterback that didn't play major, you know, Division I ball.
Kurt Warner.
Okay. That's a good one. That's a good call, man.
I mean, that's all I have for you, man.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. Like, Peyton Manning played at Tennessee, Tom Brady, Michigan. You see Cam Newton.
I get you 100%. I mean, how sad is it, though, that we have to think about it? I mean, the only guy I can think of is Kurt Warner.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of him. I didn't even think of him at the time. I would have eventually, but not right off the top of my head. But look at Michael Vick, played at Virginia Tech. I mean, you look at some of these quarterbacks. Rivers played at NC State. Everyone played at usually a major school. And then all of a sudden, I think, hey, where did Fitzpatrick play? I mean, he's not elite, but he played at a smaller school, didn't he?
Some
in the MAC, maybe. I think he came from somewhere up in that range. But look, I mean, if you're elite, you were obviously elite in college. So if you're elite in the NFL, so Flacco, he wasn't elite in college. He was just your average Joe quarterback. He picked up a system okay. He played on a team that liked to run the ball and play defense. So it kind of covered up his weaknesses, Jonathan. When you look at Baltimore, it was just like, who was it, Dilfer, when they won it back in Baltimore a few years ago. He's terrible. But all he did was manage a game, and they won. Same thing with Flacco. That 4th-and-30 pass was what saved him and made him a lot of money.
Well, I mean, and let's look at Dilfer. I mean, Dilfer wins the Super Bowl and Baltimore cuts him. I mean, what does that say right there? And Flacco, a lot of people don't realize that Flacco started at Penn State and then transferred to Delaware because he couldn't crack the starting lineup. So, I mean, Flacco, I don't trust Flacco, and I don't trust this whole publicity stunt of I still eat McDonald's and I still ride the bus for free. You're trying to make yourself seem likable. In all reality, you're making yourself seem like, you know, an ass, you know, to be frank.
Yeah, I mean, Sonny, hopefully he'll call in a few minutes. He's really on this Flacco. He respects Flacco and thinks he deserves it. So Sonny will probably call in later. But I want Sonny's thoughts on how this is all shaking out, you know, with all of this free agent moves, what Baltimore has lost. I want to ask Sonny, when he calls in, did he really – think that this would happen to Baltimore? I mean, all of these players leaving and why they're leaving. So, I mean, Anquan Boldin going to San Francisco, that was huge. I mean, that was a big move. And we hadn't talked about that much, but I want to ask you real quick, what do you think about Percy Harvin leaving Minnesota going to Seattle?
Good. I think Percy Harvin is a locker room problem. I think he overplayed his migraine issues. he's a great talent when he wants to be, and I think Minnesota did themselves a huge favor by getting rid of Percy Harvin while they can. Adrian Peterson crying and complaining about it. Adrian, shut up. Percy played, what, 6 games last year? Percy didn't help y'all get to the playoffs. You know, Percy wasn't there for that stretch run. You know, people put too much emphasis on Percy Harvin and his playmaking ability. And what amazes me, though, is that Percy Harvin's traded and you get a first-round pick. Anquan Boldin's traded and Baltimore gets a 6th. It falls into my whole thought process of Baltimore sleeping on the job. I mean, are they trying to tank on purpose? While Seattle's making that push for the Super Bowl, and you got to give them credit for it, but you have Golden Tate. Golden Tate's just like Percy Harvin, except Percy Harvin might be 0.01 seconds faster. I don't understand the reasoning behind it.
Yeah, it's hard to grasp this, but looking at Percy Harvin, I think it's really going to help Seattle, and eventually it'll help Minnesota, but I'm very concerned that Adrian Peterson would be so upset. If I was Adrian Peterson, I would be pissed off that the guy didn't play as much as he could have last year to help me as I busted my tail, you know, to lead the league in rushing and almost get my 2,000 yards. So I'm real concerned with Adrian Peterson, you know, his comments about that. But who do they get now? I mean, who do you go after in the draft if you're Minnesota?
Well, now that Minnesota has 2 first-round picks, they can go wherever they like. And I will tell you right now, they're probably going to get one of the receivers from Tennessee, either Justin Hunter or Cordell Patterson. They might even get both. I mean, it's not like they're that deep at wide receiver. They might even get one of those guys and wait later and draft Derrick Rogers in the 4th round. If you guys don't remember Derrick Rogers, he was a great receiver for Tennessee until he got in trouble with the school, violated team rules, and got kicked off and went to Tennessee State. Still a great athlete. You know, so Minnesota, this extra first-round pick this year is huge. It opens them up to add pieces now that can help them build on top of what was a playoff team, and they can get over the hump. I mean, give Christian Ponder a chance. At the same time, you know, I said Percy Harvin wasn't there. Well, that doesn't help out Ponder, but his number one receiver isn't there.
Yeah, see, I know a lot of Vikings that hate on Ponder, but he's not that bad. I mean, well, I want to see what he does once he gets some weapons around him. His number one weapon at receiver has been sitting around, you know, not consistent, not playing, you never know. But I like Minnesota. They have some balls in this move in a way. They go out and get rid of a Percy Harvin to show, hey, we're not going to tolerate, you know, a diva on the team. We're going to go out and get, you know, 2 rookies in that first round. But if they got 2 great receivers in the first round, that would be huge. Tennessee gets these receivers. I don't know how they do it, but there's some big stud receivers in here. So, hey, you never know. Replace Percy Harvin with 2, you know, top receivers. I think you have a winner. You lose the attitude. And you get some players in there hungry. And, you know, the first, like, 3 years of a rookie, they only make a certain amount of money, so you're winning in both situations there.
Oh, yeah. And I guess Percy Harvin piped up with, he was traded because he wouldn't stop complaining about Ponder. Okay? But Harvin also was the same guy that on national television 2 different times not only blew up on Brad Childress, who was eventually fired, but he blew up on Leslie Frazier, who was still the coach. You can't do that. That's your head coach. Show some respect. Leave that for the locker room. Something, you know? Percy Harvin's a cancer right now, and until he fixes that attitude of, you know, I was at the University of Florida and we won championships, then he's not going to be a factor, and he'll be lucky if he's in the league in a couple of years.
Yeah, I know Jason Minson. He's a big Vikings fan. He's very happy about the move. And let me give the call at number 646-716-5564. Join us if you want to weigh in. Tyler, you're still in the queue. If you want to weigh back in any of our comments, press number 1. You'll get back in the queue so I can see you. And it's just been wild. This is probably one of the weirdest free agencies I've ever seen. You know, it's just, you know, here's another thing. Why did the Titans go out and sign Sean Green to a 3-year deal to back up Chris Johnson? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, they did that because they needed an in-between-the-tackles back. And Sean Green's perfect for that. and Tennessee has gobs of money to spend. They might as well spend a little cash, and now Chris Johnson isn't carrying the ball 35 times a game. You know, Sean Green will take 10 carries off Chris Johnson's load, which will help, you know, Chris Johnson's career get longer. I mean, I think what Tennessee did was rather smart. You need a good backup running back to help give your starting running back some time off. And it's a good move. I mean, you know, I think it was a smart move. I think the Jets were stupid to let him go. He's rushed for 1,000 yards for the Jets 3 straight seasons. Why would you let him go? But, I mean, that just fits right in with the Jets, right? I mean, they can't do anything right now.
Well, I think Tennessee had to go 3 years to get him, in order to secure that signature. So, I mean, I would have probably tried to get him for 2, you know, 1 to 2, but 3 is a little generous. But, hey, you know, if it can keep your stud running back, and you know as well as I do, Chris Johnson is an explosive guy, but he's not going to be explosive if he's injured or he's worn out from running the ball too much. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting move. Every running back needs that backup. Look at Thomas's. In San Diego, we had Michael Turner, and now, don't you look what happened to Michael Turner and LT, you know, they wore out, you know.
Well, I mean, Tomlinson's backups were Turner and Sproles. Now, here's something that I want to ask you about, since you do live in, you know, since you are in the, you know, Atlanta area. Tony Gonzalez re-signed 1 year, $7 million, okay? Do you think Atlanta overpaid for Gonzalez, and do you think Gonzalez should have come back?
Well, I think Gonzalez wanted to come back because he wants to make to see if he can win a Super Bowl. But yes, I think Atlanta overpaid. You let 3 guys go because of money. I mean, you could have kept Turner, Abraham. You could have had something, but I don't really see how Gonzalez is going to add that much value for $7 million. I think you could have done a lot better for cheaper. I think, especially when he's retiring, you know. I mean, this guy's out of his prime. He doesn't have much left to give. I think they overspent. Big mistake on Atlanta's part.
And I'm still waiting on Cincinnati to spend their money. Cincinnati's about $45 million under the cap, right? And they have multiple free agents out there, like Ray Maluga. They franchised Michael Johnson. I believe they haven't re-signed Andre Smith. Cincinnati is the most cap room in the league. Why aren't they spending the money re-signing their players? I mean, you have Michael Johnson, Ray Maluga, Andre Smith. They're all free agents. You have Crocker, Adam Jones, who's done great for them. I mean, what is Cincinnati waiting for?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. They keep pocket that money, maybe, you know. It's a tough economy right now. I don't know. Maybe they're looking for the draft to sign somebody. I don't know what they're trying to do. Maybe they want to trade and use some of that money. But Cincinnati, really, I mean, are they really going to be relevant this year?
Well, you can't say they're not going to be. The playoffs back-to-back years.
Yeah, but relevant in the term of can they make it to the AFC championship game? Can they win the AFC?
Baltimore's out the way, and let's face it, Pittsburgh's not going to be there. So Cincinnati could easily win the division, and I think they could. I think Cincinnati with A.J. Green and, you know, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and whoever else they want to bring in at running back, Cincinnati, definitely. Cincinnati's a contender this year, no doubt in my mind, as long as they bring back their pieces, because they have a great team. Keep it together and then add to it. There's no need to blow up. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I like A.J. Green in Cincinnati. He's a superstar, man. I like to watch him play. And you're right, Pittsburgh, I mean, they're old. They're like the Yankees almost in baseball. They're old. They've lost some players. You have Baltimore. We already know what's happening with that. So Cincinnati easily could win that division. So some interesting stuff happening. I mean, this is crazy, man. I mean, just all this stuff is happening, especially with Wes Welker shooting the bird to Tom Brady and the Patriots. I mean, it's just crazy. Dog-eat-dog world. So give me your biggest shock of the free agency before we move on.
My biggest shock, I'm going to let you know right now, automatically, Wes Welker.
Yep.
No doubt in my mind, Wes Welker.
I don't know what the Patriots were thinking, man. It's going to really hurt those guys, but not having him on that third down in the slot. Tom Brady, like you said, and I'll just touch this again. I mean, what if Tom Brady just to screw it? I mean, if they don't pick up anybody, if they don't draft well, Tom Brady's a competitor, but you don't want to make the star of your franchise mad, you know, especially after taking a pay cut like we talked about. But I'm with you. Anybody in the chat room? Joshua says Denver landed well for two, so
yeah,
I think it's unanimous here. So 646-716-5564. Jonathan, anything else on NFL before we go?
Yeah, what do you think about Reggie Bush going to Detroit?
Did we lose Jonathan?
Yo, Tarvin, you there?
I hear you now.
All right, what do you think about Reggie Bush going to Detroit?
Man, I think it's a great move for his career, honestly. I mean, it fits perfect. I mean, he doesn't have to carry the ball a lot. And the way this kind of spread offense they run, I mean, he has great receivers around him. Stafford can throw the ball out of the backfield to him. I mean, I think it's good for being in a dome. I think that'll help him. I think it's good, man. I think it's a great move by Detroit.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. No, I agree 100%. I mean, Detroit running backs over the past 4 years under Scott Linehan's offense have averaged between 96 and 110 receptions. Reggie Bush is going to have at least 50 of those this year, if not more, you know. And Detroit hasn't had a 1,000-yard rusher since Kevin Jones in 2004. Kevin Jones isn't in the NFL anymore, just to let you guys know. So this is huge, huge for Detroit.
I mean, Reggie Bush is a superstar. I mean, I remember watching him in college, how explosive he was at Southern Cal. You know, I know it's different in the NFL. He has some injuries and everything, but when you talk about college players, some of the best of all time, Reggie Bush is right up there, you know, in the conversation of what he's done. So I'm looking for him to revive his career in Detroit, and I think it's just a match made in heaven. Look for Detroit to be a dangerous team this year again.
I wouldn't go that far now. They're still Detroit.
I know, but, I mean, they have the players in place. I mean, they've underachieved, don't get me wrong. I mean, with Nick Fairley and Dominican Sue on defense, they should be able to stop the run, hopefully, and it's capable of a breakout game at all times. You have Calvin Johnson. I mean, this is a good team. I mean, they're not great or nothing, but they're dangerous. And just to see Reggie Bush on the field, it just makes me wonder, I mean, what can happen this year? I mean, it's going to be hard for them to beat, you know, Green Bay. It looks like Green Bay is trying to go out and get Steven Jackson, so it's going to be hard for them to beat Green Bay, but hey, you know, a wild card game or something, you never know what's happening.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, but Detroit still can't stop the pass. That's their main problem. Once they can stop the pass, I'll sign them off as a contender, but until then, they can go sit in the wayside. They can go sit behind Chicago's and the Green Bay's and Minnesota's in last place.
Exactly. Well, we're going to move off the NFL just a second. We're going to probably stay on to 10 o'clock. It's a good hour show tonight. But, Jonathan, college basketball, the tournaments are starting for the conferences right now, and it's just hard for me to watch this early. What are you looking forward to right now in the tournament this week? What are you looking to see?
Right now, I'm looking to see how the Big East winds up shaking out. I want to see who comes out of the Big Ten. I think the winner of the Big Ten tourney should get a one seed. No doubt about it. I'm interested to see who's going to win the ACC. You know, because the ACC is one of the conferences where, you know, you have NC State, who's a five seed, who could easily, you know, wind up, you know, winning the conference, or Virginia. I mean, you know, the ACC looks like it's going to be very fun to watch. The Big East looks fun. The Big Ten, of course, is wide open. The big boys on top. One tournament that I will probably not tune into is the SEC because, let's face it. I mean, come on now. Let's see. Georgia at LSU. Yeah, I want to watch that. Mississippi State and Tennessee. Arkansas. Come on now. Texas A&M and Auburn. Auburn's the 14th seed. They're dead last. And they get to go play Missouri. If they win, which I doubt. Come on now, SEC tourney. I don't even care who comes out of there. Let's leave it at that.
Hey, I'm with you, man. And really, it doesn't matter who wins the SEC because they're not going to make it far And, you know, a team I think that could, you know, Florida, they're injured. But, you know, Kentucky, what if Kentucky decides to start playing basketball? You never know if they can get into the 12 seed or something, beat a 5 seed, and the next thing you know, they're on a roll. So it's going to be interesting. I want to go back to the ACC a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's to me the most interesting tournament. Mm-hmm. When I look at it, I see Carolina at a 3 seed. I mean, how tough is that going to be to play, you know, maybe Florida State, you know, the next game? And then I'm looking at Duke. I mean, that could be Duke, North Carolina right there in the semifinals, you know, a 2 and 3 seed. Miami's at the 1. I mean, any chance Georgia Tech or Boston College can beat Miami?
Well, Georgia Tech just beat Miami about, you know, a week ago. So, of course, there's a chance. Hey, I would never like I've been saying this whole season, I'm not impressed with Miami. There's something about them that just does not impress me. I don't think they win the ACC. I doubt they make it to the championship game. I think the winner, NC State and Virginia, will beat Miami. I mean, NC State has amazing talent. They should get it done. You know,
NC State and Duke playing in the ACC championship.
Well, I have Florida State and NC State. No, I mean, I'm not that much of a homer. I do think my boys in Tallahassee can beat Clemson, and they should be able to beat North Carolina. But I'm not sure about, you know, Michael Snare beating Duke, you know, again. North Carolina State was a top five team by everybody's standards. Everybody looked at the Wolfpack. You know, they're going to be serious. They're going to be title contenders. They have the talent. All their guys came back. You know, it's a roster that looks really good. They can't get it done. It's kind of sad to watch. And it's going to be interesting to see how they do against Virginia Tech. And then if they win that game against Virginia, because Virginia's been really good at beating teams this year that you look at and go, they should stop Virginia. And then Joe Harris goes off for 30 points, and you're like, whoa, wait a second. This isn't Virginia we've been watching all year. You know, so if NC State can make a serious run, I'd be impressed. But, like I said, I don't have faith in Miami. I think Duke's going to win it. I think Ryan Kelly is the best thing to happen to Duke in a long time, and Ryan Kelly is, you know, he makes that team better. He does.
He makes them almost unstoppable on offense, too. I mean, he's not a great player, but he just adds that great dimension to Duke. I mean, he can shoot the rock from the outside to play inside, which, I mean, they were undefeated with Kelly this year.
Yep.
People don't realize that. If Kelly's playing, Duke wins. So no one's beating them with him in the lineup. But, hey, I want to go back to the SEC. You talked about 14 teams. I mean, what do you think the cutoff should be? Just, for instance, if Auburn is number 14, why don't they just snuck in there and won that tournament? Do they really deserve to be in the Big Dance? I don't think so. I don't think if you're that bad, you should get a chance to play in a tournament to get you into that tournament.
Well, that's something we brought up with the Big South tournament. I don't know if you know, but the Big South Conference, 15 and 20, Liberty, who was the 5 seed from the North bracket, they wound up upsetting number 1 seed Charleston Southern and winning the conference tournament. So they get an automatic bid. Well, the problem is that everybody's looking at Liberty and going, should they actually be there? You know. And, I mean, nobody from, you know, because they have 20 wins, but nobody from the Big South's impressive. Let me just put that out there for everybody who wants to say, oh, they shouldn't be there. Nobody from that conference looks good. Nobody from that conference, I believe, has 20 wins. Let me check real quick. Yeah, Gardner-Webb was 21-12. That's it. You know, it's not a very good-looking conference. So, you know, if Auburn somehow goes on a tear and wins this thing, I'm going to be stunned. I don't believe in miracles that much. They have to beat Missouri and then Ole Miss and then, Kentucky. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Even beating Texas A&M would be a miracle tonight, so I can't even imagine that. But, hey, let's skip over to the Big Ten real quick. Well, hold on. The SEC, who do you have winning it? You looking at the bracket?
Who do I have winning the SEC?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very, very good question. I'm actually going to predict that Tennessee beats Kentucky.
Wow. Tennessee beats Kentucky, you're saying. I'm trying to pull the bracket up. I just hit the Southern instead of the Southeastern.
I'm gonna put 5-seed Tennessee over 2-seed Kentucky. I have Tennessee beating Florida and Alabama.
Well, do you remember just a couple of weeks ago, Tennessee beat Kentucky by 30?
Yep.
And so I look at that. How much of an impact is that going to play? It's in Tennessee. The tournament is in Nashville. So looking at it right now, Kentucky has the best draw. I mean, if you look at it, they play the winner of Arkansas, Vanderbilt. People in their bracket, Kentucky bracket, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, Auburn, Missouri, and Ole Miss. Granted, Ole Miss and Missouri, good teams and everything, but I think Kentucky will come out of this. Kentucky will come out of this bracket. And having Tennessee, you stole my thunder, Tennessee will end up beating Alabama and ended up beating Florida to go play Kentucky. You know, I don't know who's going to win. I'm going to pick Kentucky just because I like Kentucky. So it's interesting to see. But Alabama is a 4-seed miss. But tell me about Ole Miss. They won 23 games this season, and they're not even in the tournament supposed to be right now projected. What is it going to take for Ole Miss to get into the NCAA tournament?
Ole Miss has to beat Kentucky. Ole Miss has to play in the championship game, no doubt about it. They have to beat Missouri, because I don't think A&M or Auburn is going to beat Missouri. They have to beat Missouri. And then they'd have to beat Kentucky, and I think they're in. I mean, Ole Miss has had a great season. There's no doubt about it for Ole Miss basketball, because let's face it, when's the last time Ole Miss played in the March Madness? I'll wait, because I think it's been about 20 years. So, they would have to beat Kentucky. I mean, they're a good-looking team, and they got one player on their roster who kind of puts them over the top. But they faltered down the stretch, and that's been everybody's problem this year. You know, look at Syracuse. Before today's win, Syracuse was 5-7 their last 12 after starting 18-1. That's just not good. You don't do that if you're a great team. That's why I believe this year's tournament is going to be one of the best we've ever seen. So much parity.
Well, what does Kentucky have to do in order to not lose what they have right now? So if you look at Tennessee and Kentucky right now, they're first four. They're the top two of the first four in projected. How does Tennessee and Kentucky miss the tournament?
Well, Tennessee and Kentucky miss the tournament if Kentucky loses to the winner of Arkansas and Vanderbilt, and Tennessee loses to Mississippi State. They lose their first round games. They're done. I don't care. You know, I don't care if Anthony Davis is picking the brackets himself. That's no. You lose the opening round, you're done.
I'm with you, but here's the deal. Tennessee has to beat Mississippi State, Jonathan. We know that. But they can't get embarrassed by Alabama. They have to play a tight game at least. They can't get beat by double digits, or they could be in trouble. Kentucky has to beat, like you said, Arkansas or Vanderbilt. But they cannot. I don't think Kentucky can afford to lose to a Missouri or Ole Miss right now. So I think Kentucky has to make the championship game. I think Tennessee can get by with a win at Mississippi State and then maybe a close loss to Alabama. Kentucky's the one that has the most to lose here. They have to play good for two games, really.
Kentucky has the most to lose because there's so much pressure on them because of the championship they won last year. I mean, let's be real here. If Tennessee loses to Bama, I don't think they get in. Kentucky's still the 2-seed in the SEC. And they have, and that's something they're always going to have going for them. So I know everybody has Kentucky as their last four and whatever. If Kentucky beats Arkansas, the winner of Arkansas-Vanderbilt, I believe they're in, and it's solid. Tennessee and Alabama are the two teams to watch in this tournament because they're the two, and Missouri, and I mean, Missouri, Tennessee, Bama, and Ole Miss are going to be fighting. They're going to be clawing to get into the tournament. So the showdown between Missouri and Mississippi could be one of the best games in SEC tournament history. So it's Tennessee and Bama.
So if Bama makes the championship game, do they get in? Right now they're in the first four out, or the last four out. They're not even the first four. Do they make the tournament if they make the championship game?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Some people say yes, some people say no. I mean, you never know on selection day. But let's jump over to the Big 12 real quick. I mean, this looks like an interesting tournament, Jonathan. I mean, you have Kansas, the number one seed. I mean, tell me somebody that's going to come out of this. Who's going to win the Big 12 right now?
Oklahoma State.
Is a 3-seed?
Yes. Oklahoma State, the 3-seed, would be my surprise pick. I never put it past Kansas to win the Big 12 tournament. They've made a habit out of doing it. They enjoy doing it. So, I mean, Kansas has been the favorite, but if I had to pick somebody else, Oklahoma State. I think they're a very, very, very dangerous team.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And watch out for Kansas State's a two seed, but they're a very good basketball team. They can get it going. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. I like Oklahoma State to win the Big 12. I just something about Kansas that lost the other day when they lost by 20-plus points. Who did they lose to, Baylor?
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's just like you lost to a Baylor team that's the sixth seed in the tournament. I mean, there's no excuse for that. Oklahoma State takes care of Baylor. They're going to take care of Kansas State, and they'll end up playing. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Iowa State comes in there and upsets Kansas. I think Iowa State upsets Oklahoma. That's going to be a tough game. But, I mean, if you see Oklahoma State and Kansas, that'd be a great championship game. So I'd enjoy seeing that.
Oh, yeah. I mean – Oh, yeah, you want to move to the Big Ten now?
Yeah, move on.
Because this is the one that I love because I'm looking at the bracket right now. And I see Illinois playing Minnesota. I see Michigan playing Penn State, you know, Penn State who got their first conference win of the season by beating Michigan. And I see Iowa, Northwestern, Purdue, Nebraska. I really don't care about those games. The bottom of this bracket is a wash until Michigan State plays Ohio State. But this top half of the bracket I'm enthralled with, because you have Illinois and Minnesota. Minnesota's been very inconsistent this year. You know, they look so good, but they're not winning, and nobody knows why. You have Illinois, who is 3-point lights out, except when they go cold, then you know, it's easier to take candy from a baby. And then they play Indiana, and Minnesota beat Indiana, you know, and then Michigan and Penn State, you know, winner of that plays Wisconsin. The Big Ten tournament, I think, is the best-looking tourney right now. I think the top five seeds are locks in the tournament right now into March Madness. I think this is automatic gold, essentially, for the selection committee.
Yeah, I do as well. So I'm gonna pick this bracket right now. I'm going to pick Indiana going out. You know, they're going to be playing – Michigan. I think you're going to have Indiana-Michigan in one game, and I think you're going to have Ohio State and Michigan State. I don't think it's going to be much of a surprise in the bottom bracket. I like Michigan State to get it done over Ohio State. And there's something about Indiana right now. I don't think Michigan will beat them. So I like Indiana and Michigan State. I like Michigan State winning the Big Ten. Jonathan.
No. I'm going to flip you. I'm going to say Indiana beats Michigan State. After, you know, I have Indiana playing Michigan, and I have Michigan State, Ohio State, but I think Indiana has that hunger, and they realize it's game time. It's time to pull the big boy shorts and get it done. Those candy stripe warm-ups, don't ignore those pants. You know you like those pants.
So if Indiana wins this tournament and Duke wins the tournament, who's the number one overall seed?
Duke.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I would put Duke, Indiana, Gonzaga, and then I'm not sure who my fourth number one would be.
Louisville, maybe. If they play good in this tournament, if they win the Big East, I'm going to put Louisville at number one.
Well, I mean, let's say Georgetown and Louisville play each other in a championship game and Georgetown wins. Would you put Georgetown 1, Louisville 2?
No, I'd still put Louisville.
Really? Even though Georgetown's the one seed in the Big East?
Oh, I mean, it's just something about Georgetown, man. I just don't see them making it too far in this tournament. I think Louisville has the name. It just depends on how the game went. Did they split in the regular season?
I know Georgetown beat them the second time around. They only played once this year, and Georgetown won 53-51.
Yeah, you have to put Georgetown. If Georgetown beats Louisville, especially being the number one seed, you have to put them at the number one. But I just don't think it'll happen. I think Louisville will take care of business.
Well, I mean, Georgetown has played fantastic. I mean, lights out, amazing defense this year, and Otto Porter has been a force. He's been a huge factor when it comes to this team, and I don't know how you can sleep on Georgetown. I'm looking at some of their games. I look at their schedule, and I'm like, my gosh, They beat Tennessee 37-36. I remember watching that game and how sad it was to watch. They beat Townsend 46-40. They lost to Marquette 49-48. They lost to Pittsburgh 73-45. Then they went on to they beat St. John's, beat Providence. They lost to USF 61-58. That right there should just knock them out of the tournament completely. They lost to USF. You don't have any rights to be in the tournament, but, you know, this is democracy, and we're fair to everybody, blah, blah, blah. Georgetown's allowed in, even though they lost to, you know, USF. And then you look at Louisville, I mean, they lost to Duke. They lost the 5-overtime game to Notre Dame, which was in South Bend. They lost at Georgetown. They lost at Villanova. And they lost to Syracuse, who is still a good team. That was when Syracuse, before Syracuse went into their funk. And that was when Louisville went to that three-game slide. So I think Louisville right now, very dangerous team. I cannot ignore them as a one seed at all. You're 100% correct in that assessment.
Well, I mean, looking at the committee, and if it's a close game, they're going to look at the overall work. Georgetown's the number one seed because of a record, you know, depending on who they play and everything. Mm-hmm. But I think the committee will look at who Louisville played, who they lost to, and don't be surprised. Georgetown beats Louisville 70-69. Louisville ends up with that number one seed. Don't be surprised. I mean, it might not happen. But Sunday night's going to be our selection show here. We're going to go over the bracket. We're going to talk about who got left out, who got in that shouldn't. I mean, it's going to be fun. This is probably one of the most exciting shows that I look forward to. You know, I remember last year we did this show, and it was exciting. But before we leave tonight, I want to ask you something about NBA basketball, Jonathan. Dwight Howard last night played against his old team, Orlando. What happened, man? This guy, did he wake up from the dead or something?
I think Dwight Howard, you know, he was doing a lot of trash talking last night. Apparently one of the fans piped up with something along the lines of, "Even my mother hates you," and Dwight Howard said back, "That's funny, she didn't hate me last night."
Wow.
I think it brought out the best in him. But it also brought out the worst in him. I do not like Dwight Howard. I call him Dwight Coward. He's also Dwight Mayor. I'm an Orlando fan. So as you can see, you know why I'm a little sore on this subject. But
yeah,
I'm not
much of a Dwight Howard fan either. Honestly, I just think he's a diva. I think he's soft, and I just don't like him.
I can't stand him. I think he's a disgrace to L.A.
Yeah, I mean, it's, the way he did, I mean, the way he did, even the way he's doing the Lakers right now. I mean, if I'm L.A., I'm pissed right now. I mean, is that what it took for you to finally play basketball? We wait this long into the season, you play Orlando, the team you came from, and then you give your full, your energy and effort to have a great game. Where has this been all season? Where's this energy and this effort been all season?
I don't know. It's been in his head while he complains about anything and everything that he says has gone wrong. And you know, I mean, you're right. He's a diva. He will always be a diva. Dwight Howard's not the second coming of Shaq. He's not. He's not even the first he's not even the third coming of Kareem. To think that L.A. wants to build their future around him is just disgraceful.
Yeah, he's 27. He's young. But, you know, people are saying he'll be back in L.A. next year. I don't think so, man. Unless he just makes a complete turnaround and him and Kobe start dating almost, it's not going to happen.
Well, Kobe likes him now, so... You got to give him credit. Kobe's coming around. I think Kobe's only doing it because Kobe wants that ring, you know. But you know, let's not forget, the Miami Heat have now won 20 games in a row. Do you see them winning out to finish the season?
I mean, and maybe if they're resting players. But if I have a big streak going, if I'm Miami, I don't sit anyone out. I treat every game as a real game. So I don't rest. I want to break a record. I can't remember what the streak is, what the record is. Do you off
the
top of your head
the
know?
Record is the record's 33 by the L.A. is, I think it's 33 by the Lakers when they had Kareem. What did they say, 76-77? I could be wrong, but I know it's the Lakers with 33 wins.
Well, it's hard for me to sit here and say, yeah, they'll win out. I mean, their schedule looks like they will. I mean, looking at their schedule, who's going to beat them? But, you know, basketball's weird. I mean, these guys, it's a job. You go to your job every day. I mean, sometimes you just don't want to work that day, and you don't do a good job. And I think Miami could be complacent, but I don't know. I mean, I think these guys want to prove a point that they're maybe the best team ever. You know, if they go out and break that record and win the NBA again, I mean, they could be one of the best teams of all time. It'll have to be in the discussion.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think their game, you know, Monday, you know, the 18th at Boston. I think their game March 31st at San Antonio. I think those are their two toughest games to rush the schedule. I mean, come on. Let's see. Let's look at this. They're playing Toronto, Cleveland, Detroit, Charlotte, Orlando, New Orleans. Maybe Milwaukee. I know Milwaukee's giving them a real tough time this year. You know, so is Boston. That's another team that I have a feeling San Antonio is going to end that streak. I just have a gut feeling San Antonio is going to end that streak.
Well, think about this. I mean, what game, looking at their schedule, I mean, you know, these players, they're superstars. They want a challenge as well. They're getting bored. So to go on the road to San Antonio, the best team in the West right now, that just took care of Oklahoma City, I think these guys will beat San Antonio because they will be serious about it. They will take it serious. I just don't think San Antonio is probably, you know, the best team in the West. I like them to go win the West, but I just don't think they can beat the Heat.
Oh, well, do you remember that game way back at the beginning of the season? Was it like right after Thanksgiving when San Antonio rested all their starters, sent Tim Duncan and all those guys home? Miami only won by 5 points, and that was in Miami. Now you're traveling to San Antonio, and San Antonio is going to have Duncan. They're going to have Parker. They're going to have Janot. Well, they might not. They're not going to have Parker. I don't think they're going to have Parker. I don't know how his injury timeline is going. But they have Duncan, Thiago Splitters on a roll, Ginobili, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard. I think San Antonio is going to beat them. San Antonio is a team that, you know, nobody's respecting because they're old. San Antonio is still good. Tim Duncan's amazing. So I'm telling you, in San Antonio wins.
When is that game?
Sunday, March 31st at San Antonio at 7 o'clock.
Wow, that'll be a good one. I think San Antonio will probably be an underdog in that game if the streak holds by 2 points. I think Miami will be a favorite by one bucket in San Antonio, if they're favored. I mean, San Antonio is a tough place to win, but, you know, I think the West is a lot better than the East overall, but I think Miami's head and shoulders above everyone right now, playing great ball. So it's going to be interesting. You're picking San Antonio. I'm going to go ahead and pick Miami. So we'll have to come back March 31st, the night show, and that game will be going on for, you know, just getting finished when we start our show. So you'll have to come on and make sure you join us.
Oh, of course. You know, I always love to prove you wrong.
Hey, I even like to be wrong on occasion, man. You know, nothing wrong with that. But, hey, Sunday night, join us, Jonathan, and everybody out there. We're going to have a great show, 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm pumped about this show. Not a lot of people in the chat room tonight, but a lot of people do listen to the archive. So that actually pays the bill, so we appreciate that. So Sunday night, I need a big live audience, Jonathan. So if you can go out and tell your friends to come join us in the chat room, we're going to have some fun Sunday night, and you can co-host with us.
Oh, well, you know I always love the co-host. I try to get as many people as I can to listen. You know, I got people listening right now that they love your show. They love the fact that I'm on your show. You know, how it is. It's a business, baby. I mean, we're having fun, though.
I think Trey could be shaking in his boots right now.
Oh, I mean, Trey needs to be shaking his boots. I am the man.
You are the chosen one, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am your messiah.
I think Trey's calling in right now. He has a message for you.
Uh-huh.
Here it is.
to be the man. You've got to beat the man.
Oh, that was Trey Patterson from Vegas.
You know what's funny is I knew you were going to do that, so I pulled the phone away from my ear.
Well, you did, huh? You know Ric Flair. You know how much I love Ric Flair now.
I know you love Ric Flair, just like you love Guns N' Roses.
Exactly. Hey, I have a breaking news announcement. Auburn hit a three-pointer. They're tied with Texas A&M 5-5 right now.
Woo! Yeah, they still have a chance.
I mean, seriously, this is good. I mean, a minute and a half into the game, Auburn has 5 points. I've seen 8 minutes left in the first half, and Auburn had 5 points. So this is a high-scoring affair for Auburn. They're hot right now.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, see, I'm very disappointed in my Florida State Seminoles this year. I'm not disappointed, but we had a really tough year. Michael Snyder couldn't put the team on his back because, let's face it, no one kid can carry a college basketball team. You know, and then to hear you, like, all upbeat about your team having 5 points a minute and a half in makes me realize I'm a little spud by being ACC champs last year.
Hold on.
The last time?
Hold on. Auburn hit another three. They're up 8-7. Ooh. Man, this is a crazy night in basketball.
Hey, when's the last time Auburn won an SEC championship in basketball?
I think Barkley was there, maybe.
Oh, God, that long ago?
Hold on, Auburn has 10 points now, or 11 points. Man, you better watch out tonight. I think Auburn has 10 or 11 points right now, and it's crazy.
Well, as long as the fans aren't rushing the court right now because they made a couple of three-pointers in a row, we're good.
And A&M just knocked down a three. I mean, this looks like the NBA All-Star game tonight. Here, just tune in to the SEC tournament right now if you want to see some thrilling basketball because this is a tough matchup. You know,
well, you know, it is close to my bedtime, so I might as well watch it.
Yeah, I'll have to have something to put me to sleep tonight. But everybody tonight, thanks for listening to us. We had a fun time. Hopefully you enjoyed the NFL free agency talk as well. 9 o'clock Sunday night, Johnson, we're going to be on live, so make sure you join us. Go to Twitter, @WayInSports. Follow us there. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino. Actually, follow us there. You'll get updates on our show as well, any kind of changes, mm-hmm. the times. And you can listen to all the archive shows that we've ever done. So, guys, thanks for listening in. Johnson, thanks as always for co-hosting, and we'll see you Sunday night.
Have a great night, guys.
All right, just for you, we're going to have some Guns N' Roses, Johnson.
Atta boy.